I believe Ken has got some thoughts to share with us this afternoon, which is fabulous. We haven't heard Ken for a while. He's had a break, but it's good to hear him today.
I mean, I told Grace that I got something on the back burner, but this is not what I've got today. I praise God that He slotted something in to me this week that I got confirmation of the start of the meeting. I left my Bible open that Psalm 27. First line, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Then the first chorus we sang, He wraps himself in light. I can't read my own writing. He wraps himself in light and darkness tries to hide. I just sat down and scribbled it.
Amen, that's what we need.
The title I'd put today, and I don't know, it came all at once to me, "A Dark Place." Now the title might seem, oh dear, what's that about? But it's something we really do need to be aware of. I want to just share with you, you know, this Paralympics that's going on now. Well, I happened to listen to one of the Paralympians being interviewed. And this is a quote that came out. So I think it's brilliant, this quote. "Fate is what happens to you. Destiny is what you do with it."
Amen.
Yeah. I thought it's so powerful that. I suppose darkness, as Christians, we probably tend to avoid talking about darkness. It tends to be a no-go area. We are people of light. But sometimes in our lives, we're going to be in a dark place. You know, events happen sometimes that we don't expect. Things happen, pain, either emotionally or physically, can take us into a dark place. And it doesn't mean to say we've done anything wrong. There is a dark place that sin takes people to. But the darkness sometimes just can surround us. We can just... sometimes it just happens without us really understanding why. And we get into this darkness. Of course, the greatest example of darkness is when Jesus was on the cross.
Yeah.
And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 45, it says that there was darkness for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Now, it was a physical darkness that people could, a bit of an anomaly. People could see the darkness. It was tangible.
Yeah.
But there was also a spiritual darkness. Because Jesus was on his own. On that cross, Jesus was on his own. And it must have been the most awful feeling of darkness that he had on him at that time. So the darkness can be physical and a spiritual darkness. And sometimes we get into this circumstance where we just sink into this darkness. And it's so difficult to see anything. And if you have a pain, now I mean I remember when Andrew was on his back in pain and he was taking painkiller after painkiller just to try and ease the pain. And all you can concentrate on in that situation is the pain. It's like tunnel vision. Everything else goes out the window. It's just the pain. And in the dark place, all you can see is the circumstance. All you can see is the hurt and the pain. And I say, it might be physical pain, it might be circumstances, it might just be depression that's taking some people. People have what they call clinical depression, and they sink into this dark place. And, family, we're going to pray, it's on the prayer list. And I sense so much that they're in a dark place.
Yeah.
The Christians, and they've worked for the Lord, but He's ill with what they've classed as a terminal illness. They've just lost their daughter. And you can understand that they've sunk into a dark place. They're in a place where they don't want to live, they want to move, but they can't sell the house, they can't move, and now he's really too ill to move. All these things are happening to them at the same time. And it's so heavy.
Yeah.
And you go to minister them and you try to bless them.
Yeah.
But we're going without knowing, without feeling the pain they feel. And it's impossible to do that. I couldn't feel the pain that Andrew felt. And I could see the anguish he was going through.
Yeah.
But I couldn't assimilate the pain. I could, it just, you know, but if you've got your own pain, then you know.
Yeah.
You know what it's like. And the hurt is there, and it sort of drags you down. And Satan wants you in darkness. And it can be all sorts of things. He'll take you into that darkness. And he says he's an angel. He comes displaying himself as an angel of light. He tries to be a counterfeit of what God is. But he isn't. But just turn to Psalm 74. Just give you a couple of things about darkness. Verse 20. Consider the covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the habitations of violence. A dark place is not a place you want to be.
No.
It says it's full of habitations of violence. It's full of unpleasantness. A dark place is an awful place, and it's a place you don't want to be, you don't want to stay. And it is a place. You know, don't think it's intangible. It's something that is so real to the person that's in it. Psalm 88, verse 6. It says, "Thou hast put me in the lowest pit, in the dark places, in the depths." It's an awful, awful feeling. And I say, sometime in the past, you might have been in that place, in that situation. You feel this, you shout out to God, and there's no one there. Or, you know, you feel there's no one there. But it's no small thing that Jesus calls himself light.
Yes.
There's no accident. We like light because daylight is thing. We can do things in daylight. We can't do so much in the dark, and we can't see so much in the dark. But John chapter 8 verse 12, he calls himself light.
Yeah.
Return to John chapter 8 verse 12. He's speaking. I am the light of the world.
Amen.
And you see that there's something follows it as well when he says, he who follows me shall not walk in the darkness.
Yeah.
He knows that we face this battle.
Yeah.
This is a battle of the human situation.
Yeah.
That we do go through periods where we feel we're in darkness. Things happen to us. Unexpected things happen to us and throw us into this situation of darkness. But it says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Amen.
When we go into situations, we're not like people without hope.
No.
We have an anchor. You see, it says somewhere, and I'm not sure where, it says, hope is an anchor for the soul.
Yes, yeah.
Hope is an anchor. You rob somebody of the hope, and they will deteriorate very quickly.
Yeah.
But hope provides the anchor.
Yes.
But But we have to look to the light. We have to look towards the light. Wherever situation we're in, we have to look to the light. Yeah. You see a moth in the dark and you switch your light on, it'll go straight for the light bulb. Yeah. That's what we need to be.
Yeah.
We need to be reaching for the light. Even the darkest situation where we think things are impossible and we sort of feel in despair, the place to reach is for the light. And the way you'll find the light is through God's word. Through reaching through into God's word and reaching out to Jesus. He's the one that's going to bring the light through. He's the one that's going to take us out of the dark place. Sometimes you think you might be able to climb out on your own. But the trouble is that the sides are steep. And you start climbing out and then you slip back in.
Yeah.
We keep referring to the people that we see through Teen Challenge. And so many of them are in dark places. And they're going without hope. They're going round in a circle that's getting worse and worse and worse as the health deteriorates and the drugs grab them more and more. And outwardly, they display a sense of bravado to some extent. But it's when they're alone. That is really when they will feel the darkness. And we try to reach out to them and tell them about the light of Jesus, the love and the light of Jesus. You know, if you look on in Matthew chapter 5, he even calls us light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men." Let your light shine.
Amen.
"In such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." If we are the reflection of Jesus, and Jesus is light, the light of the world, then we are going to shine, aren't we?
Amen.
We're going to have a brightness emanating from us that is Jesus. But when we're stuck in this darkness, we seem so far from that. We seem so removed from that. And it can be overwhelming. It can seem so strong, so powerful, because darkness does have power. But the key thing that we need to remember is that God's authority is stronger than the darkness.
Amen.
God's authority in us, and we can use that authority as the power over the darkness. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13 says, "For he delivered us from the domain of darkness." That domain, in the margin, you've probably got the word authority. He, that's Jesus, delivered us from the authority of darkness. Darkness can't take authority over you.
Amen.
Because you're in the domain of Jesus. And Jesus, it says, transfers us to the kingdom of his beloved Son.
Amen.
So when the darkness tries to grab hold of you, for whatever reason, however it comes, you need to remember that Jesus the power of God in you as the authority over that darkness.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6, a well-known passage. Verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, listen to this, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." There's nowhere that Satan would like to get you more than in darkness. If he gets you in darkness, if he can drag you or draw you into darkness, then he knows he's won. He knows he's got hold of you.
It's his territory.
Yeah, it's his territory. Yeah, if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter, was it chapter 11, verse 14, Satan comes as an angel of light. He calls himself, he tries to wrap himself up as an angel of light. But all he is darkness. All he can bring is darkness. He can bring you a fleeting glimpse of something for a while, and you'll think it's some sort of light, because he's appealed to your taste in some way. But the end is darkness. He's taking you down into darkness. And the darkness has steep sides. Turn to John 1, chapter 4. Verse 4. John 1, verse 4. Now this is John talking about the creation and the beginning. In verse 4 it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The life of Jesus is the light of men. Jesus is our light. We see it, and we to some extent we know about it, but we don't relate it to the opposite, to the darkness. So much of the world is in darkness, and it's as if it can't comprehend the light. And this is what it says in verse 5, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend it." The other word for comprehend, the darkness can't overpower the light. Because Jesus is the one, he's the one with all the power and all the authority. And we need to grasp hold of him, especially in the situations that we find so difficult.
Yeah.
That sounds like the ice cream man, doesn't it? Hallelujah. But Jesus has given us the authority over the dark places. And our strength is just having our eyesight on him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the valley, and there is a valley called the Valley of Baca,
yeah,
the Valley of Weeping. Now, in a valley, generally, you can't see anything because the hills surround you. But if you look straight up, you can see the sky. You can't see. A valley or a deep valley can be very dark, and you really don't know where you are, because if you're in the midst of a valley, you've nothing to relate to other than the immediate hills around you. If you're up on the top of the hill, you can see for miles, and you can get your bearings.
Yeah.
But Jesus has opened up something to us, where we can always look up and see him, no matter what the situation is. Even if we feel out of our depth, Jesus is still there for us. Because we human beings, we have the habit of making mistakes. We have the habit of doing stupid things. We have the habit of, of blowing our opportunities. Now, does that mean that, you know, Jesus turns his back on us and says, that's it? We probably do think that a lot of the time, because we start to, I suppose it's our conscience starts to work, and God works within us that, yeah, we've done something or got somewhere that he doesn't want us to be. And he's doing this to us. He's not pushing us. He's not pulling us. But he's doing this. And that tugs on our conscience. And if we're in God's melting pot and we haven't cauterized our conscience, then we respond to that. We respond to what Jesus is doing. And we come back. We might have to come back to the place that we were at before we went the way we went. You know, it's the round the mountain syndrome. You go round the bottom of the mountain. As many times as it takes. Yeah, as many times as it takes. But this is God's love, isn't it? This is God's love just reaching out and touching us. And we underestimate the love of God. The definition of God's love is doing the best for us at all times. Not giving us what we want.
No.
That's not good for you. You'll give a child what it wants all the time, it'll grow up as a real spoiled brat. So you try to measure out to a child a measure of generosity, but you have to temper it with a measure of discipline. Otherwise, the child grows up unbalanced. So God surrounds us with his love. He brings us into that place where we're totally surrounded by him. And when we are out of our depths in that dark place, he's the one that will get hold of us and bring us out of it. That valley of Baca, they had to go through it. There was no pulling you back out, so you didn't have to go through it. They had to go through it. But they came out the other side, passing through. Passing through. And sometimes these dark places, we have to pass through. But you get out the other side. And you've held on to God. You've held on. Because you've seen nothing. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't see your way. You couldn't see what you're doing or where you were going. And you held on to God with all you could. And he brought you through. And he brings you out into the pasture, where you can graze, where you can rest, where you can strengthen, and where you can see where you're going again.
Amen.
And see afresh. God's word brings you light. When you're in the situations and you don't know where you are, start looking at God's word in a new way. Like Helen says, don't read it just to get through a quantity of words. Read it to hear what God's saying.
Yeah.
Read it to see what he's saying. When I was studying, one thing was statistics. That was an interesting one, because you could learn a formula and you could apply that formula and use it. But you might not know what on earth it's about. But you'd learnt the formula parrot fashion. You'd learnt how to pull figures from certain places. And you got the right thing at the end. But you hadn't an idea what you were doing. It was only later, when you started getting some understanding, that it meant a bit more. But when you start looking at the Word of God and delving into it and catching little bits that are to do with you now.
Yeah.
Bits to do with you now, when you grasp hold of it and you look at it with a microscope and God starts showing you things. That's what I like about this Bible, because I can jump to something a little bit, like there's a word that I'm not quite sure really what it means, It's in English, but in the context it's there, I'm not quite sure what it means. So I can look at the number it says and look up a deeper meaning of it and find out a little bit more about. Now, you might just have a straightforward Bible. It might have references to something else similar situation, so you could start looking at that. You don't have to just read through a page. God's telling us, and he tells us the same things in different ways, in different parts of his word. And you can find little snippets that, oh yeah. And sometimes you might think, I've seen something similar to that somewhere else. Now, a handy thing to have is like a concordance type thing. That sometimes helps. If you've got a key word and you look it up, it can reference you to another part. So just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a nice one to grab hold of this. If you're struggling. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts.
Amen.
He's the one that shone in your heart. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness,"
Amen.
Is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, in the face of Christ. He's bringing his light through. It's the good news. It's the good news. And when we're in that dark place, we need good news. Communion with God brings light. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 I put down there. 1 John is a good one to look at about light. He uses that well. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from him and announce to you, that God is light.
Amen.
And in him there is no darkness at all. The more closely you cling on to Jesus, the more closely you cling on to him, the further you will get from darkness.
Amen.
The more light he will shine into you. Because that's who he is. God is light. We need to get into the light. We need to stay in the light. We need to bathe in the light. Swim in the light. And not only we talk about, you know, God's presence and you know, reading your Bible and different things. Reading the Bible isn't an end in itself.
No.
It's the means of grabbing hold of who he is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That's not going to change if you go into a dark place. If you end up in a dark place, you are still light. You are light shining in the dark place. You are not that dark place. You are just in there. So you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. so light has its fruit as well. So if you've found yourself in that place when you are struggling, that dark place, and you've nothing tangible to grasp hold of, well, you are still light. So there'll be something in you of Christ in that dark place. And that's what you reach onto. Now it talks about goodness and righteousness and truth. That's who Jesus is. Something of that is within you. Something of that righteousness and goodness and truth is in you. And occasionally, it is necessary to stand and speak to the devil.
Amen.
And tell him who you are.
Amen.
I am a child of God.
Yes.
I might be in this situation, but I'm still a child of God. His light is in me.
Amen.
His light is shining on me. His nature is in me.
Amen.
And no matter what the situation is that I am in,
yeah,
I am still a child of God.
Amen.
That does not change.
Amen.
And God will bring you into the light. Yeah. Remember that thing that I mentioned about the Paralympics? Fate is what happens to you. Destiny is what you do with it. We don't understand why certain things happen to certain people. Why certain people have illnesses. All right, the doctors talk about genes and one thing and another, but we don't understand why one person goes through a certain thing and another person doesn't. But this second line on this is good. Destiny is what you do with it. There was a lady on the Paralympics the other night. She'd lost a foot. One of the runners. And she'd said that she was content as she was, without having her foot back. It had opened up a way of life to her that she would never have been able to enter into. But because of that. So God had led her and guided her into a new area of her life. This is destiny, is what you do with the situation you've got. It's not the situation itself that is your life. Your life is what you do with what you've got.
Yeah. Amen.
But the way we've got to do it is through the Lord, through God. That's the only thing that we can cling on to in this life that never changes. His light can reach the darkest places.
Amen.
Wherever we find ourselves, God can reach us there. You see, sometimes we don't think of darkness as being places for bad people, if you like. But dark places happen to us all. There are tragedies that happen to us, things that happen to us that we can't control and we can't explain, and they pour us into such an awful place. But God's love reaches right to that place where we are. Wherever we're at. And if we're in the middle of the valley and all we can see is up, when you look up, you'll see Jesus.
Amen.
When you look up, you'll see Jesus. And if we could see him physically, you'll see him reaching down with love and protection and deliverance. We can't see it. In the situations we're in, we can't see it at the time. But he's there. He never leaves us and he never forsakes us, no matter where we are and what the situation. But I said today, although the title seemed a bit ominous, a dark place, that is not your concentration.
No.
Your concentration is on the light.
Amen.
on the light, because that's where the life is. That's where your life is and my life is in the light. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Ken. Whoops.
Over to you, darling. Ken, thank you very much for the message. Before leaving my house, I prayed and I asked the Lord to allow me to give a testimony. And everything is said in this message. 8 years ago, the enemy visited my life and brought me into that place of darkness at a point that I was really against the wall, but the light of God in my life caused me to surrender my life into God's hand. Though that darkness, what it was doing, led me just to give up on life. And what happened, I prayed and asked the Lord to take my life, because I was unable to end my life by myself, like we see in the world when people come across that dark moment in their lives, they opt for suicide. Yeah. They kill themselves. Fortunately for me, the light that we've just heard in the message today was still there in my life. So I said to the Lord, my life is yours. I'm tired with this life. Just take me. That was 8 years ago, before I met anyone among you. And I thank the Lord that I'm still here.
Praise God. We do too.
Yes.
Oh,
if it wasn't God's grace, I don't know. 8 years ago, I could be a history.
Yeah.
But I'm alive.
Praise God.
From that time, I remember going to Africa, conducting missions, touching lives. If 8 years ago I died, who could touch those lives at my place? The Lord is good.
Yes. He has a destiny for you.
And as we heard, the devil is a liar, really.
Yes.
When I saw that my world was falling apart and there is no reason to live again, rationally, I couldn't explain why should I continue to live. But here I am.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord. Today, atheism is a way of life. It's a kind of fashionable way of life, especially among young people, proclaiming that they are atheists, they don't believe in God, is kind of fashion. I cannot explain to them fully or rationally this light that is in my life. But what I know, if it wasn't for that light 8 years ago,
yeah,
I wouldn't be here today.
No.
And also, I was in my house. I didn't talk to Ken. And this water I prepared to share with you. And when he said the title of his message, Darkness, if we were in Rotherham, I could stand up and say, Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. So all these are things that showing me that God exists. God exists. And His Spirit is real. Because it's the same Spirit conveying the same theme. And I thank the Lord that I didn't come here before listening to the message. I don't know. I'm short of words. And I thank the Lord that I'm alive. During those 8 years, my life went into a roller coaster, ups and downs. And tomorrow, I will be celebrating my life. It's another year added onto my life, and I'm so grateful to the Lord. And also tomorrow, I will be submitting my finished dissertation. So, I'm so grateful to the Lord, and so grateful to you all. Your prayers for me, your encouragement made a difference. I wouldn't finish this studies battle without all the encouragement and your prayers. So may the Lord bless you and thank you very much.
God is so good to us, isn't He?
Yes,
and I remember that time when Dharma came here. He was brought along, led like a lamb to the slaughter. And God spoke to him. And God tied him to us ever since that day. And God has plans that He's still about working out. So often we want to do it now. And but it's not for the now, but the now is for starting to prepare. And I thank God for Dharma. Last Sunday did a great job. Did a great job. And thank God for him. Thank God that he was there and we were able to share the word of the Lord. And when you have a call, when you have a direction on your life, and the devil knows it, he wants to get rid of you. You're a target. You know, you get a target painted on your forehead. And I know what he's talking about. I remember going through a situation in my life, and literally had a visitation from the devil. And said, see, he literally said to me, see, it's all a waste of time. You've wasted your time. And he said to me, why don't you just get in your car and just go and drive it at high speed through a wall. That's all it's worth. The devil wants to seek, kill and destroy. Because he knows that for each and every one of us there is a call. Said on last Sunday, I said, there have been three attempts on my life in various ways. Twice I've nearly been crushed underneath the car. Jonathan and I decided to go and do some knocking down of some trees in another car. But thank God the angels removed them. And we're still alive here today.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Not just me has a destiny. I believe both of us have a destiny. Jonathan has a destiny. It's not just doing what he's doing now at work. But there is something far, far greater than that that God has for him. Why else would the devil seek to steal, kill and destroy? Because you're a danger. You're a danger. There is something in each and every one of us that God wants to release to destroy the works of the devil. And you know, Dharma has gone through a process. He's gone through some real trials, tribulations. God is at work changing things. And sometimes we have to hold on.
Amen.
We have to hold on. We hold on to the promise that God has given to us, and we go through the dark places. And thank God the psalmist says, though we go through Baca, a place of weeping. That's what Baca means, a place of weeping. But praise God, we're only going through it. We're not being residents in the place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not resident of Baca. I'm a resident of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so is Dharma. The joy of the Lord shall be our strength, and it will take us through Baca. We may have times of sadness. But God does not want us to live in Baca. Baca is a sad place. Baca is a place of past memories and hurts. And God says, I can't do anything with you there. And you can't change that past. But I have a future, I have a plan for you. And so as you come out of that darkness and you come into the light. You see, the only way you can come out of darkness is you can come into the light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And coming into the light, we reflect his glory and become the light of God in this world. That's what God has got for us. That's what Ken is saying to us today. But you know, when you're in that place of darkness, don't live in darkness. Don't live in that torment. Because the devil wants to talk. The devil will torment you in darkness. But he said, I brought you into the light. And God has brought us into the light. And every one of us, that's why in Ephesians 6 it says, you know, about the helmet of salvation, to protect your mind. The devil would attack your mind. See, 8 years ago, as far as the devil's concerned, his life was over. Dharma's life was over. He was finished. That's the plan. God said, I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have a vision. And I have a goal for you. You've two options. Make your choice. Make your choice. And let me say this. Choose Jesus. And in choosing Jesus, you choose life. The world is in turmoil. The kingdom of heaven is not. The kingdom of heaven is at rest. The kingdom of heaven is at peace because the Prince of Peace resides there. And all things are in control. All things are subject to him. Hallelujah. And so the way that you come into the kingdom and to the presence of God is to let that peace and the presence of God be in you. And when the enemy's railing against you, you get to the house of God.
Amen.
You get to the house of God. You get to where the people of God are and where the anointing is. Amen. And you'll see things change.
Yeah.
So let me tell you this, folks. It's easy to stay away. That's what he wants. Because when you stay away, he drains your power. He drains you, and he then starts. He turns on the thumbscrews a bit more. But when you get into the presence, when you get in, when two or three are gathered together in the midst, there Jesus is. There's no Satan. There's no devil. Because where there's light, darkness cannot be. And he said, I am the light of the world. And he's so good to us, and he's so precious to us. Pray for Dharma. And we're still planning this trip to Africa. It's being pushed back a little bit time-wise, but that's okay. God knows. It may be the end of the year or very early part of this coming year, but things are at work. And we are just trusting God. And we want you to continue to pray for us and to... Let's press in together. Let's gather together here on Wednesday, those of you, and let's get together and let's seek God and let's see the power of God beginning to move in a greater way. Last Sunday, we were, as you know, we all went elsewhere to another church, and we saw things differently. But the thing that we saw at the end that was so important was the fact that Jesus was beginning to move amongst the people.
Mm-hmm.
And people were being healed. And we had a phone call to tell us that there were people healed, God spoke to people, and that is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about performances, but it's if he be lifted up,
mm-hmm.
he will draw all men unto him.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I thank him for being my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate him for that. And I thank you also for being my brothers and my sisters.
Mm.
It's important, you see, we can only take the kingdom of God into the world when we stand together.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, when we stand together and we press through.
Mm.
Paul never went on his own.
Mm-hmm.
The disciples never went on their own. There was a team that went out.
Mm.
Begin to shake yourselves. Begin to decide and seek God for things that he wants you to do.
Amen.
And see the God of heaven and earth moving in power.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.